guys are on the victory side. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, greetings. Good to see you again. I know this has been already a great meeting, and you're turned on already, aren't you? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray, and then I'll let you be seated. Father, we love you today. We honor you. We honor your word. Thank you for giving us utterance today and giving us hearing. We believe to receive words from heaven today that would change us, bless us, enlarge us, teach us, help us. Your word is so wonderful, and we prize your word, Lord, and we value and exalt your word. And we thank you for bringing it forth today and all that you've already brought forth in this meeting. We will do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I can tell y'all are in the zone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk to you today about good days. And here's kind of where I'm coming from today. I know that we've been hearing a lot of bad news about a lot of things. A lot of it about your pocketbook. But we are not citizens, first of all, of this world, but we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we live in this world. But where we live are days of heaven on the earth. Amen. So we don't have to get gloomy, down, scared. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can walk by the word of God. And I want to talk to you today about stirring yourself up. Stirring yourself up, not to be moved by what you hear, not to be moved about what you hear about financial things or any other kind of situation in the country or in the world. We get our substance, our sustenance from heaven. And heaven brings us substance down here in the earth, natural substance. The Word of God will provide for us. It will bring us money when there is no money. It will bring us food when there is no food. God can send birds to feed you. He can put money in a fish's mouth. He's not limited to what the what's happening out here in the natural realm. And so I want us to just feed ourselves on the scriptures today about some of these things. And I want to talk to you about good days. In the kingdom of God, we're having good days. We're not having down days. We're not having sad days. The joy of the Lord's our strength. We're not having broke days, unemployed days. We're blessed. We operate and live in the kingdom of God. And that's how an entirely different place from where natural people live. You say, well, I feel kind of natural. Well, you need to get over that. You need to get into the Word of God and find out that you're not limited to natural situations. But we walk in the supernatural. We walk in the blessing. Ken has been preaching on the blessing for months and months and months and months. And so people should be prepared to expect the blessing. I expect the blessing. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures today. And let's start with Psalm 34:10. Glory to God. Thank you for helping us, Father. Thank you for stirring us up to expect marvelous things, marvelous things. Psalm 34:10 says this. The young lions, well, let's look at 9. Let's look at 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's where we stand. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. The Lord is good, and the man that believes he's good and trusts in him is blessed. The blessing is on us. I say this every day. The blessing is on us, and we cannot be cursed. Poverty is a curse. Lack is a curse. It's plain to see what's a curse when you look under the the blessings in Deuteronomy and the curses in Deuteronomy. The blessings is good. Everything's abundant. Everything is there under the blessing. But under the curse, everything is bad. But we don't live under the curse. We have been born again out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You say, well, I don't know that I've ever been born again. Well, we'll pray with you today and you can come out from the darkness and from the curse and into the kingdom of God. So don't let me fail to give you an opportunity. Or you could just say right now, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I receive you, Lord. Because it says Jesus himself bore the curse for us so that we might receive the blessing. Isn't that marvelous that we don't have to live under the curse? Regardless of what's going on down here around us, we have our substance, our sustenance comes from a higher place, from heaven. These are days of heaven on earth to the children of God. So I want you to quit paying attention to all that bad news and start paying attention to all this good news.
Amen.
Amen. And don't let fear come into your life. Now, Psalm 34, verse 10 says, well, we went back up to 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. What would be another way to say that? Blessed is the man whose faith is in him. We're not going to live in the supernatural blessing and our faith be in the world system. If your faith's in the world system, you're doomed for failure. But our faith is in him. We trust in the Lord. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman that trusts in him. Fear the Lord or reverence the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Does it say there's no want just in good times? Just when everything's going good and the economy's good and there's plenty of jobs? No, it says there is no want. Anytime, in other words, to those who reverence God and let him be God in their lives. I like that. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Those that are naturally strong or in the natural, this, that, or the other, high positions, good jobs, strong people in the natural, they may lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. There shall be no want of any good thing in your life if you seek the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I choose to seek the Lord, and I shall not want any good thing. Let's just look for a moment at, let me think about where I want to go here. Matthew 6, I believe. What does it say? What did Jesus say about it? Uh-oh, this may not be the right place. What am I looking for? He said, seek. He told us to seek. Now, where did he? Well, I thought it was Matthew 6. I've kind of lost it. What, 630? Is it 633? Well, that's what I thought. But I must be I'm looking at 5. Hold on. 633. For all these, let's just look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying. So when you have a thought that's crosswise of the blessing, don't take it. Don't take a thought like this, in other words. What shall we eat? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to pay for the house? How are we going to pay the rent? What's going to happen to us? Jesus said, don't take those kind of thoughts. Look at verse 30. Well, let's look at 29. Yet I say unto you, That even Solomon, he's talking about the lilies of the field, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And yet, look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? So to think about those things in that manner is to have little faith or no faith. O ye of little faith, concerned about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. Verse 31 says, take no thought. Here's how you take thoughts. You take thoughts. You can take thoughts of failure, doubt, lack, or you can take thoughts of abundance, blessing, honor. But he says, don't take thoughts like this. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In other words, what are we going to do? There's lack. I see lack, and I'm talking lack. And I start saying, I'm not having, you know, I don't know how we're going to buy school clothes. I don't know how we're going to pay college tuition. I don't know how we're going to buy groceries. What is that? That's taking the wrong thoughts. It's taking thoughts of unbelief. The scripture says don't take any thoughts like that. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are people without a covenant. The nations, the natural people maybe that you work with or you know that don't know God. They're without God. They don't know God. They don't depend on God. They don't have God's provision. Unless you're praying for them, they might be in big trouble. Therefore, take no thought saying, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? What are we going to eat? How are we going to get a car? How are we going to do this? After all these things, those kind of things do the unbeliever seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows we have need of all these things. We need cars. We need food. We need house. We need a job. We need money. God knows that we need those things. So what we should be doing is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness or His way of being right. And all these things, these natural things, shall be added unto you. So we don't seek things. We don't seek after things. We don't worry about things. We seek God. We seek the Word of God. We seek the will of God. We go after righteousness, which is being right and doing what He says is right. And God meets all of our needs. All the things, the natural things, in your life will be added to you. Isn't that a great scripture? Isn't it good to be added to? Now, looking back at our lives, I can tell you that we needed a lot of things at one time in our lives. We needed a good car. We needed a good house. We had some children. We didn't need children, but we needed to put clothes on them, and we needed to see to them, you know, and care for them. We had a lot of needs. We had no money, and we found out that God would supply our needs. And we began to sow and to tithe and to believe God and to say what we believe from the Word of God, and we began to prosper. I'm telling you, when I said we need money, I mean, we didn't have a good house. We rented a house, but it wasn't a very good one. We didn't have a good car. We had a car, but it wasn't a very good one. And I had to believe God when I went to the grocery store that I'd have enough money to get out of there. I would pray in tongues under my breath through the grocery store, believing I could get out of there. But you know, that didn't last very long once we got over into His kingdom and got on His word and started flowing in His direction. What I mean by that? I mean, we started believing the Bible. And we started talking the Bible. And saying what we believed. And we learned to quit saying what we didn't want to come to pass, but to say those things that we wanted to come to pass and things began to change. But seek ye first. So you put the kingdom of God first, and most of you are already down that road a long way. And his righteousness, or his way of being right and doing right and talking right, and all these things, these natural needs, will be added unto you if the economy is good. If there's plenty of jobs. If the right people are in office. No, it doesn't have any ifs there. The kingdom of God will overcome every situation. It just says all these things, if you seek the kingdom first. That means you do what you know to do. You get in the will of God in every way that you know to get in the will of God. You go after His Word. You spend time in His Word. You walk by faith. You believe what the Word says. You put it in your mouth. You put it in your heart. And you begin to say and say and say, and you don't say anything different. I used to, when we first started out, I had a list. Sometime I'll bring that and show it to you, because I still have it. It's real yellow and old, but I had a list. You know, we needed everything. I had a list. I don't even know what all it had. Probably everything from groceries to a house to a car. I had a list. And I believed I received the things on that list. And I thank God for it. And you know, every one of those things came to pass. And I still operate that way. If I need something, I ask the Lord for it. I believe I receive it. And I stay until I get it. Was it always instant? No, but it always came. Where would I have been if I hadn't have believed at all? I'd still be right back there in that little shotgun house we lived in. So you have to be patient about these things, but you always be increasing. And you keep increasing all the days of your life as long as you'll walk with God and do what He says. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, what things? All the things that the heathen up here, the Gentiles, seek after, and they have to go after it because they're not letting God be their provision. All the things that the world seeks after, all the good things, all these things shall be added unto you. I don't think I've ever looked that word up, added. But it sounds to me like it's not something that comes necessarily by your own physical labor. But the laboring part is what? What does the scripture say? To enter into the rest. The labor is to enter into that place of faith. And then you just begin to flow with God, do what you're told. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. So when you see the news and they're talking about they're laying off people in this sector, that sector, all these thousands of jobs are laying off, this company's gone bankrupt, don't jump in there and take that thought. Don't jump in there and say, oh my, I might be next. No, don't take any thought like that. We take the thoughts of God. No matter what's happening out here in the world, God is my source and my supply. God has given me a whole book full of promises that tell me He'll take care of me. He'll meet my needs according to what's happening in the earth. No. According to what heaven might scrape together. No. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God meets my needs. I have nothing to fear. I walk by faith. All these things, you seek God first, His way of doing and being right. I believe that's what the Amplified says. And all these things that you need in your life will be added unto you. Now, Ken and I have walked this way for a lot of years, 40 years. And we have found it to be true. In the big things, the little things, the in-between things, whatever we need, God has provided if we give Him faith to work with. And how do you get faith? By hearing the Word of God. How many of you have a Bible? How many of you have a copy of the Word of God? So we've got it made, church. We got the Word. We know what God says. We know what He promises. All we have to do is get in it and believe it and act on it. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't be thinking about what's going to happen next week when the rent's due or the house payment's due or when they start laying off people or whatever. You are preparing for disaster when you begin to think like normal people. Now, the people around you, if you've been in this very long, they all know you're not normal. They don't think you're normal. So don't start acting normal now. We're supernatural people. Hallelujah. We live in the supernatural power of God. We live above this natural realm that has all these problems. We are born of God. If you were born of one of the wealthiest families in this nation, do you think you'd be concerned about having a job or whether or not you might get laid off or whatever, or where's your food going to come from? No. Well, I'll tell you, there's nobody wealthier than our family. Our Father owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and everything that's under those hills. This earth belongs to God, and He's given it to the children of men. So that would be us. Hallelujah. Glory. We're heirs. We're heirs of salvation, but we're heirs of the world because we're the seed of Abraham. Abraham was an heir to the world, the Scripture says. Glory to God. So we're not going to be concerned about anything. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for the nation. We're going to pray for our neighbors. We're going to pray for the people, our city, our companies. We're a place of authority. We can change things in prayer. If you've got a company that's in trouble, start interceding for it like it was your own family. That is your job. That's your place. That's your company. And don't join the recession, the depression, the lack, the fear that we hear about all the time on the news. Now, Jesus Himself said that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. That's our job. In good times and bad times, we go after the kingdom of God. We go after the Word. We go after doing what the Word says, obeying the Word. Seek first, not second, but first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and all these things that the Gentiles are having to seek after, that's talking about natural things, shall be added unto you. Isn't that amazing? It's not that through your labor, your hard work, your worry, your fret, but it's that through your faith and through your putting God first, the things that you need in life will be added unto you. I just love that scripture. Jesus preached some marvelous messages. Look at Psalm 34:10. Let's just look here. It says, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." So if we want the blessing, what do? We have faith in Him. We trust that whatever He says in this word or whatever He speaks to us in our heart is the truth. And what is that? Then what happens? Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You could say faith comes by hearing and believing what is said in the Word of God. That's where faith comes. We've got a whole Bible full of great Word. Then we also have the Spirit of God living in us to tell us, to talk to us, to calm us, to let us know what's going on. We don't need to be concerned. Verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord," reverence the Lord, in other words, "ye His saints, for there is no want to those that fear Him." There is no want, no lack to those that honor God. Praise the Lord. God has set Himself as our provider. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, hallelujah. There is no lack, there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack. Those that may be in the world, strong people, strong situations, maybe wealthy people, maybe, you know, just in the natural realm, all situations. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So the only thing you have to do to be safe in this kind of a crazy environment is to go after the things of God. Seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. Verse 15 says, the eyes, it also says in 14, depart from evil and do good. You know, if you want the blessing, you have to do what God says. You can't live your own nasty life and be blessed. When you know you're not walking in the light of something that God says or that He considers to be sin and wrong and you're going ahead and doing it, you're not in a place for blessing. But it's just up to you. You can decide to stop, repent, get things straight in your life. The blessing will come back on you. They that want the Lord they that seek the Lord shall not want or have any lack of any good thing. Well, let's read this. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Which one is it that of you that wants to have life and have a good life and live a long time and see good all those years? I would be one of those. This is what you do. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Speak right words out your mouth. If you've been around this group very long, you know that your words count. Your words really are your faith speaking. What you talk all the time is what you believe in your heart. If you just speak faith things when you're at church or around some other Christian, and you talk unbelief the rest of the time, unbelief's what's in your heart in abundance. You may be a Christian, but you're believing something other than the Word if unbelief's coming out your mouth. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Drop it. You got anything in your life that's not good in God's sight? Get rid of it. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord, verse 16, is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. If you're in trouble today, if you're in financial trouble today, or sick, you're sick in your body or whatever it is, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Who are the righteous? Those are the ones who live for God, go after God, born again, serving God, obeying God. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord didn't say we wouldn't have trouble, but He did say that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So whatever that affliction is, the Lord will deliver you out of it, whether it's sickness, lack, whatever. You need a job, no job, that's trouble. That's an affliction. He'll give you a job. You may have to go to work, but He'll give you a job. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Trouble comes, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. The Lord, verse 22, redeems the soul of His servants, and none of them, say none, none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Hallelujah. No matter what happens on the earth, if God has to give us manna from heaven to get by on, we're not going to be desolate. If He has to put money in a fish's mouth, His people are not going to be desolate. We have to honor God with our money. You should be a tither and you should be a sower. I mean, don't quit sowing now. And if you're not a tither, You should start. You should have already started. You say, well, I sure can't afford to tithe now. Well, if you're in that shape, you can't afford not to tithe. I can guarantee you that. What does tithing do? Well, this is not my message today, but tithing honors God with your first fruits. The money you get, you honor God with it. You sow into Him, the tithe into His work, into whatever He tells you to do, poor or whatever He tells you to do. And that keeps Him involved in your money. He is a partner to you. But if you won't sow and you won't tithe, you're shutting a door to the blessing. Because the Bible just says, and this is not my subject today, but people get in a hard time and they think, well, you know, maybe I should just quit tithing. Are you kidding me? Quit eating before you quit tithing. If you'll tithe, you'll have food. But you can have food and be broke and broke and broke and broker all the time. So the tithe, the Bible teaches us that the tithe belongs to God. And when we take that tithe, His part, out of our increase and we worship Him with it, He becomes a partner in what we're doing, a partner in our life, a partner in our increase. And the Bible says about the tither that the windows of heaven are open unto him. Glory to God. And that may be, you know, if you've not been tithing, that's probably one of your biggest financial mistakes. I'd say it was your biggest financial mistake. Because you've had an opportunity to take God in as a partner in your finances. And you've turned him down because you didn't consider him a viable partner. Oh, well, I never did say that about God. No, but you didn't trust him or you'd be tithing. If you knew about it. Some people don't even know about tithing because you can go to some churches and never hear about it. But you look it up. You look up in the book of Malachi and you just find out that the scripture says, if you're not a tither, you're robbing God. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I don't believe I'm going to rob God. I'm going to sow. But the thing about tithing is God's not nearly broke and he'll get by without you. But he'd like to be a part of your life. And you need him in your deal. We need God in our finances all the time. In times of prosperity and times of financial pressure, we need God in our finances. Ken and I never did increase until we started tithing faithfully. And really, I'll just tell you the truth. We thought like we needed it worse than God did for a while. But then there came a day when we had that breakthrough and we just said, we're going to tithe regardless. And that's when we began to increase. And we've been tithing ever since and we've been increasing ever since. So God's a good partner. And this scripture says, though they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In other words, they that seek the Lord, there shall be no lack of any good thing. Now, that doesn't say if things are going well in the nation, if there's plenty of jobs, if, you know, you're independently wealthy or whatever. It just is for anybody. Things will begin to turn around in your life. If you seek the Lord, and if you worship the Lord, and if you obey the Lord. Hallelujah. So we don't have anything to fear. Psalm 105 says, we're in a good place. When we're in God, see tithing, sowing, obeying God with our finances, worshiping God, doing what God says in our lifestyle and you know, if he says something's wrong, we don't do it. If he says something's right, we do it. That's the way to see good days, the scripture says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've proved it out for a lot of years. That's just the way it is. 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. And the Hebrew says, his truth endureth to generation and generation. In other words, his truth never stops. His truth is just as powerful today as it was when the Lord spoke this psalm of praise to the original writer. God's good. He is a good God. And His mercy, His favor endures forever through every cycle, through every situation. God's mercy is available for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, 104:28 says, Thou givest. Let's look at 27. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. God never has a closed fist. His hand is always open to us. He is a benevolent Father. He is generous. He is good. He is the blesser. He's not the curser. He is never your problem. Who is the curser? Satan, the thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's hand is open, and His hand is filled with good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can trust God. Psalm 145:9. The Lord, let's look at 8. The Lord is gracious. That means He's disposed to show favor. Full of compassion. Slow to anger. Of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. That would be you and me. And His tender mercies are over all His work. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to all. He's good every day. Every day you go to Him, He's listening. Every day you walk by faith and give Him an opportunity to move in your life because you believe what He says in the Word. He's there, moving, changing things. Now, sometimes, you know, sometimes we come to the Lord with a situation that we spent years messing up and we want it done in 24 hours. And it doesn't always happen in 24 hours, but it always begins to improve. And if we'll keep walking by faith and staying on that, our confession and the words of our mouth agree with His words, every situation will change for the good. Hallelujah. Psalm 104, I already did that, didn't I? Houses, look at Deuteronomy 6:11, then we're just going to look at some of these marvelous scriptures. We're going to look at some more marvelous scriptures. The Bible's full of marvelous scriptures. Hallelujah. And this one is about houses. Maybe you need a house. Maybe you lost your house and you need a house. From what I hear, some people have done that. But you haven't lost God. The scripture says I'm in Deuteronomy. That's not right. Now, Deuteronomy 6, but I'm in 1. Deuteronomy 6:11 says, you probably already read it 3 times. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe. No, that's 6:3. Okay, let's go to 11. And houses, look back up at 10. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Now see, He gave them whole cities. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So He's saying that He gives houses full of all good things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, He'll do that. I believe God for houses, and He's given me houses, and He's filled them up, and He'll do the same for you. When I began to believe for a house, we couldn't even think about buying a house. We could think about it, but we couldn't do anything about it. But He gives us houses. Maybe you need a home today. Maybe you need a place to live. He gives you houses filled with good things. God is not, He's not having any shortage. I don't care what the Democrats say, the Republicans say, anybody else says, government says, people that know everything they think say, the talking heads on TV say, God's got it together. And He's not suffering from any kind of lack. And anybody that's believing Him and walking with Him can walk in abundance and blessing in every cycle. When I pray for our partners every day, I say, Lord, bless our partners in every cycle. What do I mean by cycle? Well, if you listen much to the news these days, there's cycles of, you know, they talk like there's cycles of where this is happening and that's happening and there's no jobs and there's too many jobs and then there's this and there's that and recession, depression, all of those would be cycles. But we walk with God and we don't have to be subject to lack in any cycle. But we have to do things on purpose. We can't live just any way we want to and expect to live in the supernatural power of God. We have to do what God says. So begin to get on your faith. Start meditating on the financial scriptures. Oh, the Bible is full of promises about abundance and houses and land and all that God has, He's put here for the children of God. God's not in a depression. He's not in a recession. He doesn't even have inflation up there. I don't guess I should tell this, but I will anyway. They can take it out of there. They can take it out of the tape if they want to later. But yesterday we went to the White House. And so before we left, we went down to the little souvenir place. Ken didn't go, but Kelly and Steve and I went. And we went down to the souvenir place. They had all kind of neat souvenirs about the White House. So I handed them some money, and they said, We only take credit cards. So then I got sidetracked. I went about. I shopped a little more. And I found something else I wanted, and I forgot. And I tried to give them some cash. And they said, we only take credit cards. So I said, Kelly, they make money here. And they know it's not any good. And they only take credit cards. Of course, I don't believe that. I think it's still good, but I don't know. That just popped out. Well, this little place is like surrounded by desks and people, you know, and when I said that, they all laughed. So anyway, so much for that. But isn't that funny? They wouldn't take any cash in the White House. They know something down there, don't they? No, I'm just kidding. I believe we're all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 6:11, we looked at that. Luke 6:43 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Let's look at that scripture. I'm just Cadillacing along here. I've got to speed up. I'm telling you. The word is good. We don't have anything to be afraid of as long as we've got the Word of God and the Father of glory to back it up. And there's no chance that He's not going to be there. There's no chance that He's going to be overthrown. There's no chance He's going to go broke or that there's a recession in heaven or a depression in heaven. There's not a chance. And when we believe God and we tithe and we sow, we're doing our banking in a place that you're not going to have any lack. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Luke 6:43 says, is that where I am? Luke 6:43. Okay, hold on. Is that what I just read? No. I just read 45. This says 43 through 49. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, when we get the Word of God in our heart in abundance, and we feed upon the Scriptures about our finances, our money, our healing, our family, and so on, words of faith come out our mouth. A good man brings forth a good crop. And the Word of God is what makes our crop good. So how do we get those words in our heart? We're not born with those words in our heart. We don't get them just because we're married to somebody that's got good words in their heart that come out their mouth. We get those because we take the Word of God and we put it in our eyes, in our ears, and it gets down into our heart, and out of the abundance, the overflow, in other words, of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're talking problems, you're talking debt, you're talking fear, you're talking lack, that's what's in your heart in abundance. Now, if you can't watch the news and stay in faith, then don't watch the news. You cannot talk problems, and you can't plant doubt seeds and reap a faith harvest. That's not going to happen. So we have to, in times of stress, financial stress, or in times when sickness and disease are trying to come into our lives and into our body, we have to put the Word of God in our eyes and in our ears until that is what comes up out of our heart. Whatever we plant, you know, that's God's fair. Everybody does their own planting. You can plant good in your heart, good words, good faith words, truth in your heart, or you can plant all that stuff that you hear on the news. It might be so, but it's not the truth. This is a higher truth. It might be the way it is in the natural realm, but then we're not natural people. We're born again people. We're spirit. We're born of the Spirit. Glory to God. A man must be born again. And we've been, most of us, born again, and if you haven't been, you can be. So we have to center up on the words of God, feeding our heart, our mind on the Word of God, and not let fear have a place. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. How did that good treasure get in there into a man's heart? Through his eyes, his ears. It gets down to his heart, and then it comes out his mouth. Good or bad, whatever's planted in there. If you plant doubt and unbelief will come out your heart, out your mouth, and it'll bring a sorry crop. But if you plant the words of God, faith will come. Words from God, words from heaven that came from God and came into your eyes and into your ears and got down in your heart will come out your mouth, and they'll come out in faith. For what does the Scripture say? Out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you find yourself talking doubt, unbelief, fear, you know that you've got something in abundance in your heart that's not the Word of God. The Word of God in there in abundance, you'll begin to talk faith words. You'll begin to believe faith words. You'll begin to see yourself out of a situation. You'll begin to see yourself with a job, or with a better job, or with a promotion. Whatever it is you're believing for and you're needing. See yourself healed instead of sick. For out of the abundance of your heart, out of abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It says an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A good man brings forth good. An evil man brings forth evil. So what you have to do is overcome all the doubt, unbelief, the fear, fear of failure, fear of recession, fear of depression, fear of lack, fear of houses being repossessed, fear of not being able to pay your bills, whatever. You have to overcome that with the Word of God. And you might as well just start believing God to get out of debt. Because if you were out of debt, you'd feel a whole lot better today than you do. And the Bible teaches us that we can walk in abundance. And that we don't have to owe any man anything but to love him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have an entirely different outlook on things when you don't have a lot of house payments to make and a lot of car payments to make and a lot of credit card bills to pay. And you've been hearing that message preached around here for a long time. And now you see why God wants you to be debt-free. Because he wants you out of bondage. You don't need to be in bondage to the world. We don't need to be in bondage to the world. We need to be walking with God. We need to be prospering in the Lord. We need to be living like a tither ought to live and a sower ought to live. An increase. Amen. Glory to God. And so a good man brings good things out of his heart. Good things come to pass. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So you need to always be watching those words that come out your mouth. And if you get over in the ditch and you start talking doubt and unbelief and failure, you know you better switch off what your eyes and your ears have been partaking of. And get the Word of God down in your heart. If this is new to you, you need to get teaching CDs and you need to get your Bible and you need to start studying and learning about walking by faith. Because faith does this. Faith is believing what God says in His Word. Faith walks not by sight, but by what God says. Faith is believing what this Word says. And so when you get faith in your heart, you believe, you begin to walk by what God says, and you give it more attention and more authority in your life than what the world's saying. The Bible teaches us that we can walk in abundance, and it does not mean as long as things go well. The blessing, Ken's been preaching, I see now why the Lord has had him on the blessing for months and months. In months, I don't even know how long he's been preaching on the blessing. But he's been preaching on the blessing every meeting for a long, long time. See, God's wanting us to, he was wanting us to get ready for these things. We should not be subject to what the world does. Why? Because we're born of God. We're under a different set of laws. We're under higher laws. We're under laws of abundance and not lack. We're under the laws of having a heavenly Father that meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, not according to what the world's doing. We live according to the riches and glory. Heaven's not having any depression. Heaven's not having inflation. Heaven doesn't have any lack. Glory to God. And that's where we're supposed to be living and having our being. We're supposed to be worshiping God with every fiber of our being. Obeying Him. Doing what He says. Handling our money and giving Him His part and worshiping Him with it. And expecting to be prosperous and expecting to increase. Hallelujah. Now listen, when I don't even know what was happening out there in the world when Ken and I were first learning to believe God, because what was happening in our house was just as bad as we could hardly think about. I don't know what was happening. I don't even remember what was happening in 67, but there was a severe depression in our house. There was a severe recession in our house. There was a tremendous lack in our house. And we began to operate on the Word of God. We began to believe God. And we became tithers. That's when we became tithers. And we begin to increase glory to God and find out what God says in His Word. And in short time, things began to be different in our lives. And we've been prospering from that time until this, and we'll still prosper, and we'll prosper in every cycle. That's what I meant when I said I pray for our partners every day, that they prosper in every cycle. Spiritual people, Bible people, are supposed to prosper regardless of what's happening out there in the world. Why? Because our finances are tied to heaven. We sow to the Spirit. We worship God with our tithe, and we get the blessing in our lives. Hallelujah. And we sow, and we give, and we increase, and we're on that system. And so no matter what happens in the world, you can prosper. You can increase if you just won't join up. You know, a lot of people, even believers, they join up in a time like this. They'll join up in the depression. They'll join up in the fear that maybe they're going to lose their job. Well, if you lose your job, God's got a better job for you. Because we've got a source that natural people don't have. God is our source. He is not in a depression. There's not any inflation up there. There's no lack in there. They don't even have to raise taxes. They don't even have to have taxes. Oh, won't that be heaven, days of heaven on the earth? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, we need to get our thoughts on our source and not on what's happening down here in the world. We don't have to partake of what's happening here on the world. The favor of God is on you. You're not going to lose your job. Just say, the favor of God's on me. And if you did lose your job, it'd only be because God had something better for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah! I preach myself happy. So faith without works is dead. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things to pass. Faith without works is dead, or faith without doings is dead. If you have faith, you've got to use it. You've got to speak faith words and apply your faith to situations. It's not enough just to say, oh, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. No, you've got to act on it. You've got to act on the Word of God. Got to do what it says and act on it. If you're believing God, then you can't afford to have depression and fear come into your life. You need to kick fear out. Say, no, I'm not having any fear of that. No, I don't have any fear in this situation. We're blessed and we can't be cursed. Glory to God. The Scripture says what the Lord blesses can't be cursed. Hallelujah. I say that every day too. So, a good checklist is Mark 4, but I might just not go there right now. Check out Mark 4. You know, Mark 4 talked about good ground and bad ground. Ground that produced, you study this the first time you have an opportunity. Ground that produced was good ground, and it had good soil. Seed went into good ground, the seed of the Word went into good ground and produced a good crop. But then there was some ground that wasn't good ground. It didn't receive the Word of God. It didn't have any depth of soil. And so there was no crop. And you study that out. That's a good place to check yourself out. And be sure that you're actually doing what the Word says. Amen. Let me just read just a couple of things here. Just a couple. Mark 4 is so rich. Mark 4, it says, these are they. The sower went to sow the word. I can't resist. And some fell by the wayside. And Satan came. This is Mark 4:15. Satan came immediately and took the word away that was sown in their hearts. So some people hear the word, they receive it, but then they let the devil steal it out from under them, or lie them out away from it. Tell them it's not working for you. And these are they which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately they say, oh, good, and receive it with gladness. I added a little bit there. And have no roots in themselves, But they endure for a little while. They endure for a time. This is a stony gram. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So stony ground is a ground that doesn't have enough soil and it doesn't let the word of God take root. Too many other things in that ground. Too many rocks in the ground to grow a crop. And then, so they don't produce. And these are they which were sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. These are other things that steal the word out of your heart. Cares, worry, fretting. You can't afford to be in this environment or any other, afford to be worried about what's going to happen to you. Worried about this or worried about that. That is the opposite of faith. It produces nothing but curse. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering into the heart, choke the word. Too many things in there. Too many cares in there. Too much fear in there. Choke the word. So you got to be watchful about your heart if you want to live in the supernatural. So we don't want to be that way because that makes the word unfruitful. That's an overcrowded heart. You don't have room for too many things in your heart, or it'll push out the word of God. So we make way for the word to be in our heart. We receive the word, we hold fast to it. These are they, verse 20, which are sown on good ground. This is good ground. This is what you and I want to be. They hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. Good ground hears the word, takes the word, holds fast to the word, and brings forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. That's where we want to be. We want to be those that hold fast to the word of God. Now, get up early in the morning and spend time in the word before you go to work. Spend time in the word when you get home at night. Spend time in the word. This is where faith is. You can't get faith without, and you can't get faith from any other source. But hearing what God says. I'm so glad you came to this meeting. You're going to go home with the word of God. How many of you are already your face higher than when you got here? Let me see your hands. Glory to God. See how it works? Faith comes. The word comes. And it goes into your heart, and it stirs things up there, and it brings out faith. And then faith words come out your mouth and go against the circumstances in your life that are against you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. So you get in the Word. You be good ground. You do what the Word says. This scripture in Psalm 84... Wait, let's see if that's where I want to go. Why are you laughing? You don't know where I want to go. Psalm 84, let's just go there. 84:11. Psalm 84:11. Glory to God. I'm good ground. Say, I'm good ground. I believe the word. I hear the word. I obey the word. I'm blessed. And I'm increasing all the time. 84:11 says, for the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, we may not own our own strength. We can't make good things happen. We can have an influence, maybe, but we can't make good things happen. But we can be a home for the Word of God. We can take the Word of God and put it in our heart. We can take the Word of God and the Father, God, and Jesus to be our sun and shield. We can put faith. We can have faith. We can have faith. We may not can ourselves in our own power change these things in the natural. But we can change our hearts and cause our hearts to take hold of the supernatural with faith. Glory to God. We can do, in other words, we can do what it takes to get faith in our heart. We can go to the Word of God. We can put faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that if we'll put our eyes on the Word and believe it and receive it, faith will come in our heart. We can't make faith, but we can put our eyes on the Word of God and allow faith to come in our heart. Now we can do that. It's up to you. Every one of us can be strong in faith if we'll just do what the Scripture says and keep that Word going in our ears, going in our eyes, let it get down into our heart, and then speak it out our mouth. You got to do the last part, because that's what faith words coming out of your heart and out of your mouth, that's what changes your circumstances. That's what causes you to prosper. That's what makes your body well. Faith words, God's words that you put in your eyes and in your ears and it got down in your heart and now it comes back up your mouth and you apply it to your circumstances through your words. Now anybody can do that. You can receive that and you can begin to do it, but it doesn't work any other way. I mean, you can't get faith any other way but hearing and seeing the Word of God. And letting it in there and receiving it. And then you can't let it loose any other way other than it coming out your mouth and speaking words that agree with the Word of God. Glory to God. It's easy, but it's demanding. There's just no other way you can get there that you can have live in the supernatural without putting it in your eyes and your ears. And then there's no other way that you can let loose the Word of God into your life other than out your mouth. So we begin to say, we get words. I had scriptures I went over every day about finances and about the things we needed, a home and a car and natural things. We applied the Word of God and we applied faith. And things changed in our lives. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people, I don't know, maybe millions of people around the world are doing, you know, have taken the same thing and begun to do it. And how many of you have been walking by faith long enough that it has changed your circumstances? See, look at all those testimonies. Where would you find that many people that would lie at one time? Those are all true. Glory to God. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Now I want to just say this about faith. Time just flies up here. My goodness, it flies. I want to say this about faith, and if I can find my notes about it. I taught this in Fort Worth this year. I got ready in such a hurry. It's possible. I don't even have it. But it was several things that you have to do for faith. One of them is engage. See, these things don't just fall on you like Brother Hagin used to say, like ripe cherries off a tree. You have to engage, implement, and press. The devil is somebody said, I believe somebody said this to Brother Hagin, you'd say something good about the devil. You talk good about everybody, you'd say something good about the devil. And he said, well, he is a persistent cuss. And he is a persistent cuss. You don't just deal with him one time and then he's gone forever. Well, that'd be nice. But he is a persistent cuss. He's got a lot of little helpers, little devils that do what he says. And so that means that we have to live sharp. We can't be slothful, lazy Christians and expect to have victory. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith overcomes the world. Even our faith. Somebody else's faith is not going to be able to overcome the world for you. They can help you. They can get you started. You might get some breakthroughs that way, but you can't live that way. Your faith got to take hold if you want to walk in victory. Now here's what the Lord gave me this summer. You know, the Scripture says faith without works is dead. And here's what I got to share in the convention this year that helps to understand what you have to do, kind of give you a hint on what it has. It's not easy. It's not easy to go upstream when you're living in a world that's going downstream. It's doable and it's easy in a way because if you'll just do certain things, God will do the rest of it. But if you're just going to be lazy, what's going to happen to your little canoe? It's going to go downstream. You got to keep paddling, brother. You can't just take a week off and get in doubt and unbelief and down, depressed and discouraged and expect to maintain your position. No, you'll be way off down that river, first thing you know, and then you'll have to paddle your way back up a faith. So just learn to live circumspectly and walk circumspectly and do things on purpose. Now, the scripture said in the Psalm 84 that no good thing will he withhold from those that walk unrightly. No lack, 34:10, Psalm 34:10 says. The word good means worth, virtue, merit, something contributing to health, welfare, happiness. A synonym for good is boon, benefit, advantage, gain. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Advantage, gain, virtue, prosperity, profit, interest, welfare. When I was looking up the word good in the dictionary last year when I was preparing this message, when you look it up, it said all these in the 20th century dictionary, and it said that a goodbye, this is funny, I thought, I'll share it with you. Goodbye is a contraction of God be with you. Did you know that? I had no clue. How many of you knew that? There's somebody, two people right there. They knew it. I had no clue, but I thought it was so cool. Because every time the world says goodbye, every time an atheist says goodbye to you, they're actually saying, God be with you. Is that cool or what? A contraction of God be with you. That's in Webster's Unabridged New 20th Century Dictionary, copyrighted 1904 to 1964, if you want to look it up. So, here's the things that you need to do with your life. Now, Romans 10:17 is a familiar scripture. Let's put it in our eyes and in our ears. It tells you how faith comes. And so, if we know where faith comes, if you know where to buy a donut, you can go get a donut. If you don't know, well, you have to figure it out. If you know where faith comes, then you know how to get it. So Romans, 10:17 says, so then, and of course all of Romans is about faith there, so then that book, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing what God has said already from the Word or hearing what God says to you in your spirit. Faith comes as He talks to you in your spirit and He says a certain things to you and you say, oh, that's right. I see that. Faith comes. Faith comes from the written Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if we want faith, we have to do what? We have to hear and see the Word of God. But we can have as much faith as we will pay attention to the Word of God. So whether we're strong in faith or weak in faith is really up to us. So the word good means all those things. It's all good things. No good thing, Psalm 84 says, will He withhold from those that love Him. No lack in Psalm 34:10 says that. So, here's what you and I do. Here's what we have to do. This is our part. God's done His part. We've even got a written Bible. You could walk by faith if you didn't have a written Bible. You'd just have to pay attention, very close attention. You'd have to pray and you'd have to listen to what God said in your heart. That's the way the Bible was written. Some person heard these words from heaven in his heart by the Spirit of God and wrote it down. Now, we do that ourselves. It's not the written Word, but it's the Word of God to us. And when we hear it, and you hear it in your heart, and you know it's God speaking to you, and you receive it and act on it, it is the Word of God. It's not the written word, but it is the word of God to you. And so faith comes, you act on it, and results come. So here's what you do. You have to implement the word of God. We know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We've got to spend time in the word. You can't just go from meeting to meeting. You can't go from Sunday to Sunday. You have to spend time in the word. If you want to be strong in the Lord, spend time in the word daily. Daily. Try not to miss a day. And don't just read it because I have to read this. Read it because my life depends on this. My faith depends on putting these words in my eyes and in my ears and in my heart and out my mouth. And if I'll do that, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Say, my faith will overcome the world. Your faith will overcome the world if you'll put it down in here through your eyes and your ears and then apply it out your mouth. So we have to implement. The word implement comes to mind. That means to carry into effect, to fulfill, accomplish, to provide with the means for carrying into effect or fulfilling. And we, of course, have Mark 11. That's the great scripture of faith, Mark 11. That we learned on, let's look at it again. Have faith. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. For verily I say, or I'm telling you the truth, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now one day, just one day, I remember a certain day, I was listening to Brother Hagin on reel-to-reel tapes and I was taking notes. And I was listening to him preach on Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23, that is where we learned how to apply faith, Mark 11:23. And I was listening to it probably in 1967, I guess, still in Tulsa. I know it was still in Tulsa, so that's when it was. And I saw, it's not what I say just when I'm being spiritual. It's not what I say just when I pray. It's the things I say continually that come to pass in my life. Because what I have in my heart comes out my mouth. Now, in those days, until I learned this, bad stuff came out my mouth. I was worried. I was worried we couldn't pay our bills. We couldn't pay our rent. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. We had notes of the bank and all that stuff. We couldn't do anything about it in the natural. We didn't have any money and we didn't know where the source was and we didn't know how to get any money. I know none of you have ever been in that shape. I hope not. But then that day I was reading this about faith. Have faith in God. Whosoever, that would be me, shall say unto this mountain. I'm talking to the problem. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, that's plural, those things that he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I was listening to Brother Hagin that day, and the Lord spoke this word to me. Inconsistency lies the power. It's not just what you say when you're in prayer, but it's what you say all the time that just floats out of your heart, just comes out of your heart. And, of course, we didn't know that, and we were talking the problem all the time. We were talking the bills. We were talking the problem. We were talking the lack. We were doing exactly the wrong thing just because we didn't know any better. You know, you feel like, if you don't know spiritual things, you feel like, if you can't pay the bill, the least you can do is feel bad about it and kick yourself over it and talk ugly about yourself if you can't pay it. You know, like, I'm such a worm. I can't pay my bills. Oh, this, that, and the other. No, that's not what the Bible says. Faith says what it wants to come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And what I saw, what the words that came to me that day was, in the consistency of your words, things come to pass. In consistency lies the power. You've got to get your words in line with the Word. The words you speak every day. The words you speak when you and your wife are lying on your pillow at night, thinking about the problems or the bills or the debts. Those words count. That's your authority. That's your faith. That's your unbelief. Your faith or your unbelief coming out of you, coming out of your heart, and either getting rid of that situation or taking it to you. You know, you might lie in bed and say, and I mean, I remember what it was like. You want to talk the problem. How many of you know you just naturally want to talk the problem? You've got to overcome that, and you've got to talk faith. And you got to talk the Word. And so maybe you're in bed at night and you're talking about, how are we going to pay this bill? What are we going to do? They're threatening to take the car. We have to have the car. We've got to go to work. What are we going to do? Don't go there. Get in the Word of God and begin to say things like, my God meets my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm living in the blessing and I'm not living under the curse. Look over there under the blessing and say, that's mine. Look under the curse and say, Jesus has redeemed me from that curse. Lack is under the curse. Fear is under the curse. Failure is under the curse. And it's what you say continually, consistently, that comes to pass in your life. Not just what you say in prayer. Not just what you say in church. And so you need to know that your faith, your words, are your faith speaking. And you need to get on those words and make them work for you and not against you. So that day I was sitting there and I saw, that's it. And see, you never forget some things when God talks to you like that. And He said, inconsistency lies the power. So I saw right there, it's what I say continually that's coming to pass in my life. Not just what I say when I'm praying. Not just what I say when I'm reading the Bible. But it's what comes out of my heart continually that comes to pass in my life. And there's just one way to change what's in your heart. If you don't take any action, you're going to have a negative, unbelieving, world-talking heart. But if you'll begin to say what God says in the Word, faith will come on your words, and you'll begin to speak, I'm debt-free. I'm out of debt. God meets my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You will not say ever again, we don't have the money. If your kids come and they want you to buy them something, don't tell them you can't afford it. Just say no. If you don't want to buy it, just say no. If tell them they're going to have to believe for it or something. But don't say, we don't have the money. Don't ever say that again. Always say, our God meets our needs according to our riches and glory. Now, Ken used to tell the kids, they'd want this, they'd want that. He would say, well, okay, we'll believe for it. Let's just get our faith on the line here and get your faith out there. We'll agree with you. And they'd write their little agreement out and they'd put it on the refrigerator and so on. This is a true story and then I'm going to quit. This was, that clock is fast. Surely it's fast. This was way back when Kelly was probably in first grade or less. And so the kids wanted a boat. And so they said, well, you know, they wanted a ski boat and a fun boat. And Dad wanted a fishing boat, so... They started believing for a boat. They said, okay. We said, okay, write out your agreement. So we all wrote out our agreement, put it on the refrigerator. And so help me, I'm not lying about this. One day, two people, I think it was the same day. If it wasn't, it was real close. But as I recall, it was the same day. Two people called. One person up north somewhere called and wanted to give us a small cruiser, cabin cruiser. And... that, you know, the family could go in and so on. And then another man, now Ken wanted a fishing boat, they wanted a play boat. Another man called and gave Ken his fishing boat. I think it was the same day. Now, those kids never will forget that. I mean, that was supernatural. And from then on, that's where things went, you know, on the refrigerator. They believed they received it. They wanted a bicycle. Kelly came in and she said, "Daddy, I need a bicycle." She said, "I just pedal and pedal and pedal and I can't keep up with people." So she started believing for her a bicycle. Train your kids that way. You know, our children never have forgotten how we receive things. And they raise their children that way. Now, church, it's time to get on the stick. It's time to get on the Word of God and start talking abundance. And don't you believe what you hear? Because the whole world could be in recession, depression. But if you're operating out of the kingdom of heaven, you'll be blessed. You'll be prosperous. God will take care of us. Our sustenance comes from heaven. None of us can get by down here on our own. We don't even want to. Who wants to just get by when you can be blessed with God? Amen. So I want to pray over you today, and I want to pray over your finances, and I want you to get these things, these three things. Implement. This is your faith. Implement faith. Engage in faith. Don't just fool around and let your finances get all messed up. Engage in the Word of God and apply it to your finances or your body if Satan's trying to make you sick. Implement. Engage. Get involved. Go after it. Be on fire for the Word. And press. Jesus said the kingdom of God is preached in every man presses into it. Nobody can press in there for you. Your pastor can't press in there for you. He's pressing in for himself. I can't press in for you. I'm pressing in for me. You got to press into the things of God. Get on the Word of God. Put it in your mouth. Say it with your mouth. Get it in your heart until it flows out your mouth. I had scriptures I went over every day about prosperity and blessing and so on and increase in our lives. And we started out in debt and with nothing. And God has met our needs. He's taken care of us all these years, and He's done it wonderfully blessed. So we implement the Word by putting it in our mouth. We engage in faith. We get diligent about the Word and about faith, and we stand on the Word. And then we press, and we press circumstances. We press for our jobs, we press for blessing, we press for increase. In other words, we don't let Satan steal from us. When he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you say, "No, not here. I'm blessed." Glory to God. Amen. We put pressure against the problem, spiritual pressure. We press the problem. Get out of here, sickness and disease. I've been redeemed from sickness. Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. You press in the Word of God and you press for your deliverance. And you get rid of those things that are under the curse, like lack and sickness and disease. Glory to God. To implement means to carry into effect, to fulfill, to accomplish. You implement, you press. Glory to God, and you engage. To engage is to take hold. If we're flying in the airplane, Ken can pull a little lever or push a button or do something up there, and it engages the autopilot. You engage the autopilot, and then the autopilot begins to fly the airplane. Now, engage is to implement, it's to go after, it's to take over. The autopilot takes over the airplane, and it just the instruments then tell it where to fly. Now you take over your life with the Word of God, and you tell the devil where to fly, and to fly out of your life and get out. What do we do? Aren't we supposed to? Are we supposed to ignore the devil? No. We We go after him. We press. We press him and we cast him out. That's what Scripture says. Cast out the devil. We cast out the devil. Glory to God. Now, don't be passive in this day and hour. You take over. Take over your finances right now and say, I'm not participating in lack. I'm going to increase. I am on the increase. And you take the word of God about increase and blessing and you put it in your mouth and you do it. And then you press and you stay in the Word of God and you get up in the morning in time to read the Word. And you read the Word sometime during the day, not morning, then at night. And you press into the things of God. Amen? And you will have victory in every cycle. Stand up on your feet. Now say this. I have victory. Today, tomorrow, in Jesus' name, I press into the things of God, into the things of God, and I walk by faith and not by sight. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.